Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We made the announcement yesterday on the program, and we're very excited. In fact, an hour from now, it will be exactly this time next week. Next Friday at noon, which is May 22nd. It is the three-year anniversary of Game 6 of the Western Conference Final when the Predators defeated the Ducks to punch their ticket into the Stanley Cup Final. It's basically our documentary. We're chronicling the Predators' historical 2017 run and that historical Western Conference title series against the Ducks. And you're going to hear Pete Weber with call of the biggest moments of Game 6. You're going to get insight from players. It's going to be fantastic. Sean Henry kind of giving a perspective of the organization. Game 6 remastered. Next Friday, remember, noon to 2 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Nashville app, the Game Nashville app. And we're very excited about it. Like I said, we made the announcement yesterday. It's going to be fantastic. The three of us were a part of some of the interviews, and just alone knowing our little part, while we haven't seen the final cut, we haven't been able to, it's not done yet. It's going to be fantastic. It really is. There's still a lot more work to be done. But next Friday, starting at noon, Game 6 Remastered. You're going to want to check it out. And we're excited that we're going to air it right here on these airwaves and during our show, the final 2 hours of our show next Friday. Guys, can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I know this is something we're all pumped about. I mean, Ryan has really taken the reins on this to try and put it all together, but we've all been a big part of it, and I'm looking forward to hearing the final product next week at noon. So I know the interviews that I did with Austin Watson and Sean Henry, I really enjoyed those. It was fun. I learned some things that I didn't know about that night, and I know you guys have talked to Ryan Johansson, David Poyle, Colton Sissons, so it's going to be neat. It's a very cool project. It's something different, and as we have learned through all this time, you have to do things differently.
You do, and we're excited about that. We're efforting Bill Romanowski. Speaking of, while we're kind of in a stall about the NHL, Pierre LeBrun put something out there that we can touch on. It was pretty interesting. In fact, in our little group text, Willie, you said Pierre must have been listening to our debate about Chicago and Montreal, which I got a good laugh about, because it does seem like that he was That's talking about debated. Some of the same it's, things we were talking about.
It sounds
about.
Like it's been debated yeah. in the talks between the members of the committee of, is this, and I'll read the quote here in a minute here, but he talks about both sides of the equation of having 24 teams, which would conveniently, in many's mind, include the Blackhawks and the Canadiens, two huge hockey markets with giant fan bases that would certainly help build the attention and maximize the audience, and asking whether that's really fair. So he says, this is LeBrun saying, I don't think the 24-team play-in format sits well with everyone. There are some on the player's side, but also some among team executives who feel it doesn't pass the smell test as far as fairness to reward Chicago and Montreal with a ticket to the season-ending dance. And he used it examples, too. Both of these teams were sellers, clear sellers, at the deadline, right? Chicago traded their best goalie.
Yeah.
Robin Leonard.
In fact, he says it in the piece that they wouldn't have traded Robin Leonard if they knew
no way.
They were going in. They're going to be in the playoffs. They were selling off.
Yes, and Montreal traded some guys too.
Yeah,
but yet, as he points out, under one proposed model that was circulated, Pittsburgh could face Montreal in a play-in series, presumably best of three. And there's a 15-point gap between the teams. He says, but can you imagine if you're the Penguins, you've probably been a little worried that Carey Price would stand on his head for 48 hours and your season is over. That could happen, right? It just comes down to who should be given a chance, who deserves to have a chance to do that. Because we know upsets happen, right? It's just a matter of, you know, who deserves to be given that opportunity to pull the upset. And I think there are baseball people that feel the same way about expanding the baseball playoffs, right? It's great to have more teams in the picture and more teams involved in a pennant race, but does the fourth wild card team really deserve to have a chance to knock off the team that was the best team all year long? It just depends on your philosophy.
I think this is a unique circumstance, but if it was normal, I would say no.
Right, that's a good point. That this isn't normal. This is a different year.
I think that all the leagues, not just the NHL, but the NBA and baseball, and maybe not the NFL yet, but who knows what it looks like when we get closer to their season. They're trying to be, you know, respectful of the fact that this is something that you didn't see coming and you can't plan for, and so they're trying to make it as fair as possible, knowing that it's not going to be completely fair and you're not going to make everyone happy. And so I believe if you go about it with that type of mindset and look at it that way, then if you're a fan of, you know, a team that you know you're in and you know you were always going to be in, and you're a little, you're like, hey, why is Chicago getting in, or why is Montreal getting in, why are the Rangers getting in? I just think you have to go about it as it's not fair. And none of this is fair, but this is just how it is.
Right. And so is this serving the greater good of, you know, just trying to put the league in the best position to succeed under the tough circumstances? But I do wonder deep down if some of the players on the Blackhawks and Canadians are like, man, really? We got to get up? We got to do this? Do we really deserve to be in this? I do wonder if they have that queasy feeling there. Because I do continue to ask the question, if it were Florida, Arizona, you know, teams like that, would they be, yeah, let's go 24. That sounds good. Let's get Florida and Arizona in there.
I don't know how they're going to, what they're going to come up with, but as we talked about yesterday, it's not going to please everybody.
No, it's not. But you know what is looking like it's going to be the case is it's not going to be all 31 teams. It's not going to be all 31. They're going to drop some of these teams, and it's going to be probably 20 or 24. It's looking more and more like that.
And you did not like 24. I didn't say I liked 24. I just said, fine, then go to 20 and tell me the four teams you're leaving out. And then that's where it gets interesting. I mean, that's where it's going to get really interesting, that you're going to – so of those four teams, I mean, I think you start with Montreal. That's pretty easy. Then after that, it's like, okay, what's the next three teams you're dumping?
Well, we vote for Chicago for obvious reasons. So.
Yeah, well, I said that yesterday. I said, sure, I'm all for anytime. You know, the Blackhawks are left out, absolutely. But is that fair?
Well, I think it's fair to leave those two teams. I don't think have a solid argument of getting in.
Well, you just said 50-50 if they went on a run at the end of the year to get in.
No. 50-50 if they won every game. If they won every single game from here to the end.
I thought it was 9-1-1.
The Blackhawks?
I thought it was every game.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's recap.
Do the math.
So they've got 12 games remaining.
Site, Sports Club Stats. Let's take the Blackhawks. 12 games remaining. If they the Blackhawks are different than the Canadians. The Canadians had no prayer, pretty much. I mean,
they're the
Blackhawks as they sit right now. As they sit right now, the Blackhawks' chances of getting in stood at 2.6%. 2.6%.
Okay. That's fine.
So if they were to go,
that's
if
fine.
They were to go 10-2, okay. If they were to go 10-2, they would have a 50% chance of getting in.
That's what I thought. I didn't think it was undefeated.
Ten and two.
Okay.
10-2 Can they get 10-2 They traded all those guys.
Do I think
they traded off Gustafson?
Does that mean
they
traded off
Leonard?
Do we know though? No, that's my
point.
We don't
possible. Detroit could go 10-2
Right. Okay.
They could. It's possible.
Just for the sake of this, what you're saying, and we just don't like the Blackhawks. They're eliminated. Okay, so we've taken them out. Okay, so fine. Who's next? Arizona. Okay, so they're out. That's three teams. Now, who's the fourth? Is it Minnesota? Or is it Florida? Florida's got more points.
East? Are we doing 12 from the east, 10 from the west?
Minnesota's got 13 games left. They would have 13 games to play. Florida, 13 games. So they played the same amount of games. And Minnesota is 1 point behind Florida. So you're going to take Florida out just to have the even number. So Florida and Montreal are out. Arizona and Chicago in the West are out. So Minnesota gets in with 1 point less than the Panthers. Fair?
I think it's the standings are the standings.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, all seven Florida Panthers fans are going to be very irate on Twitter, and those seven fans are going to be very angry that their team didn't get in.
Yeah.
In Sunrise, Florida, no telling what those seven people may protest in Sunrise,
right,
Florida. So
let me ask one more question before we break here as we continue to still search for Bill Romanowski.
I think Bill's gone.
Strictly from the Predators' perspective, all right, you're looking at just what's best for the Predators. Forget about the league, forget about anything else. And let's go on the assumption that, I mean, and I think this is the case, regardless of how you would divide it up, the Predators are in a 16-team field or a 20-team field, right? They're in the 16, one way or the other, whether you go points percentage or the actual standings, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what's better for what gives you a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup? Being the 8th seed and playing, I guess it would be St. Louis in the first round, or I guess if you did a certain way,
you'd have to play Vegas in the first round. Wouldn't you have to? But
you're either wild card one or wild card two, depending on which way you do it, whether it's straight up standings or winning or points percentage.
Okay.
Right? If it's points percentage, they would play Vegas.
Yes.
If it's straight up standings, they would play St. Louis. And you got to beat them in the best of seven to start. Or do you have a better chance of winning? You know, in a 20-team format where you play a 2 out of 3 before you even get there. Like, if you're a Predator fan, you would almost root to have 16, right? Let's just go 16. Yeah. We don't want to have to take the chance of losing a 2 out of 3.
I think that's probably unlikely, but, yeah, I agree with you. Because I do think probably we're talking about a 2 out of 3 first round with those extra teams, right, to then get into your 16-team tournament. It's kind of like the play-in. Basically, they're going to do play-in games. It just won't be in Dayton. I don't think. Maybe Dayton's got a lot of sheets of ice.
It will not be in Dayton.
No? Right? I mean, they'll have to do that. I think they're going to have to do kind of the play-in games to then get to start up your 16-team field best-of-seven series. True? Like a 2 out of 3?
Right, and so then that begs the question, all right, you're St. Louis and you're Vegas, and you're sitting there going, man, we've had a great season. We're St. Louis. We're trying to defend the title, and we haven't played in however many months, 3 months, 4 months. Now Nashville gets to play Chicago in a 2 out of 3. Nashville plays two great games. They're feeling good. They advance. They've played a couple games. We, the Blues, haven't played in 4 months. Is that an advantage for Nashville? It might be, right, if St. Louis hadn't played any games. So what do you do before to make sure everybody is up and feeling like they're prepared to play huge games, playoff games?
Yeah, it's kind of like what we always talk about the NFL, right? The bye week, right, and how, you know, See, the bye week, you shouldn't rest. So you rest players.
And we're
so
talking
you
about
play your
bye,
starters.
Bye months.
Then you had,
bye
right,
week.
Then you had a bye week. That's what I'm saying. Just think about the conversation that we have around that, you know, where it's you didn't play your starters the last game of the season. Then you had a bye week. And then you played. So your starters haven't played in 3 weeks, and how much commotion we make about that. Yeah, what about 3 months or longer?
That's a lot to ask. So I think they've got to do something. And maybe it's just exhibition games, but can exhibition games do the job? Would it be fun? I've asked this question. Would you guys be in favor of a little 5-game just for the teams that are playing, whether it's 20 or 24, to play a little 3 or 4 game round robin, and maybe the games count for stats just to make it a little more meaningful? Or would you prefer if you're a coach or team? You would just make them exhibition. They don't count.
That wouldn't count.
I want the best product possible in the situation that we're in. So whatever gives me that, that's how.
I think that's a reason to make the games count. At least,
sure.
At least you're. I mean, if I say, Chase, you want to watch this game? It's an exhibition game. It doesn't count. And then I say, well, what about this other game? This game counts. It's not a playoff game, but this game counts. In the records, if somebody scores a hat trick, it goes down in the NHL records as a
right.
hat trick.
I would rather.
Which one are you going to watch?
The one that counts.
Is that what you're in favor of?
Yeah, I think I'm in favor of that.
Really? Boy,
yeah, and
quarantine
I think it just really
has gotten to you. Wow. You're going to do something that's not, you know, the way we've done for 100 years? What?
Well, this has never been done.
What? Who are you?
Willie
but this has never been done, right? This is a one
is
shot.
This
deal.
Aaron? Who's at the Donick House? Who's on the show with us right now?
We still need
is
to
this
get
Willie
on the show?
Did you just say do something that's never been done before? Who are you, man? All right, let's go to the break. Logan Ryan made some comments on NFL Network. Good morning, football. You'll hear that on the other side. Paul Byrd, former Major League Baseball pitcher, now Braves analyst, Fox Sports South, will join us at noon to start the third hour of the program. You just made the list also in the third hour, and we'll check in with Dr. Peter Cobb as well. So a loaded third hour of the program coming up here very, very soon. But right now, we want to hear from Logan Ryan, who joined Good Morning Football on NFL Network a couple of days ago, talking about his future. There was reports out there that he was about to sign with the Jets. Nothing has happened. Also, that maybe the Dolphins may have interest. So he currently is still a free agent. And here's their conversation.
Right now, we are now joined by a two-time Super Bowl champion, one of the most versatile defenders in the league. Last year for the Titans, my boy was stuffing the stat sheet. He racked up 113 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 4 interceptions, forced 4 fumbles, 18 pass breakups. He can literally do it all. Please welcome to the show, now free agent cornerback Logan. My man, Ryan. What's up, baby? How you doing?
What's going on, man? Appreciate you guys having me. I love that intro right there. That was pretty good.
Of course, man. I got to show you some love, man. You a living legend. Now, speaking of a living legend, like I said, you are a free agent. The past 2 days, we've been hearing some rumors, some things floating around, the Jets, Dolphins, among other teams. So what have you been hearing? Are you close to landing with the squad? Talk to us, baby.
Yeah, you know, I think I've been a free agent close to, 2 months now? So I think I've been linked to every single team. I've seen articles. I mean, people broke news to me on where I'm going. So I literally been linked to every single team out there. I've talked to every team, but I definitely took my time. That's one thing I learned is patience through this process and trying to find the best fit for me. But I would say it's probably not true until you hear it from me on my page, on Logan Ryan on Instagram. I'll probably be one of the first to break the news on where I go.
Love that, Logan. Love having you here on the show. And free agency is kind of tricky. I've always thought you were underappreciated when it comes to your position. And Nate read those stats, and he read them in a great way. But let's really put those stats into perspective, shall we? Only one other DB has had a season with 100 or more tackles, 4 sacks, 4 picks, and forced fumbles in the entire history of the NFL. And that was Hall of Famer Rod Woodson back in 1992. Why do you think you're still on the market? Talk to people about what you've learned throughout this process, too.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's actually news to me. That's pretty cool. I mean, Rod Woodson,
You're
someone
welcome.
I Rod Woodson, someone that I looked up to growing up. I mean, obviously a Hall of Fame player there. I'm on the market for a variety of reasons. I think coronavirus has affected everybody. I think it affected life as we know it. It affected sports. I think it affected free agency. And in the beginning of the process, I really didn't feel the multi-year offers I were getting were the best fit for me financially. And most importantly, my family, where I would feel comfortable playing and them living and the scheme itself. I'm trying to put myself in the best position to be successful, to continue to have years like that. So I really took my time on it, and I've been patient. I've been waiting this thing out because I feel like there's no rush with where we're at in football and sports, and really taking the time to pick the most I can, take the most control I can in this process. And, you know, Nate, you know players don't have too much control in this league. So the little bit of control you do have in free agency is something I'm trying to take control of. And I learned to be patient. I learned to love on my family and really, you know, do what's most important to me and grow closer to my family during this process like everybody.
All right. And Logan, as you go through this process, you said that you were coming on our show last night. The tweet of you just saying you were appearing on our show got over 2,000 retweets, and most of them coming from Jets fans. Jets fans want Logan Ryan. They want this thing done. I'll tell you, you're a Jersey guy. I'm a Jersey guy. I know Jets fans, and they love their guys who are from the state of New Jersey. What has the reaction been from them on Twitter, and what is your reaction to the overwhelming love you're getting from these folks who wear the gangrene?
You know, it's been great, and honestly, it's been great. Like I said, from all fan bases, I've been getting reached out by every fan base. I think they understand me as a human being, me and my charitable efforts in the community, me as a dad, as a husband, and going through what everyone else goes through. I try to show that camera on my family and what I do day to day, but me as a player especially. So, I mean, the Jets, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because I'm from the area. I went to Rutgers 20 minutes from there, so I'm familiar with New Jersey. I'm blue collar. That's how I grew up. I came out of Rutgers in the third round to New England. I had to do my job and continue to do that. So that would make sense for sure. But like I said, I'm trying to do what's best for my family and everything like that. And obviously, there's a lot of rumors out there. I can't confirm any of it because I'm obviously still not signed yet. So we'll see. I obviously want to get a deal done whenever, and I'm open to it. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm also open to pretty much 30 other franchises except for the Titans. That's the only one I rolled out thus far. So I'm completely open for business.
Well, they'd all be lucky to have you, Logan. You've accomplished so much in your career, but specifically, there's something kind of special about the play that we ran at the start of this interview. Your pick six against the Patriots and Tom Brady in the AFC wildcard round, that's the last throw Tom Brady ever made as a New England Patriot. And for fans, you know, it had kind of a feel of Iron Man snapping his fingers and changing things at the end of the game. It was the end of the empire. Aside from being such a great team win, what does this play mean for you?
I mean, it's hard to put it in perspective right now. I mean, you know, luckily for Tom Brady, I'm a fan. I'm a friend of his. And I'm happy I got that one off him. But, you know, he's still playing football. I think he's going to throw a couple more passes in his career here at Tampa Bay and probably pretty successful there as well. But really, with me, I was just so focused on the game. I had a really tough matchup with Edelman, someone I competed with for 4 years, ultra competitive on the field and the practice field. And it's been documented, the trash talk we had between each other. So to have that matchup with him, and then I obviously dropped the big pick early in that game. And I literally thought about my Twitter killing me for dropping the pick, and I'm going to be a dead man walking if we lose this game. So I trust. I said, I got to make this right. I work too hard. I catch too many balls every day at the practice. I have the best hands in the Titans secondary. I don't drop picks. That was the easiest pick that I dropped in my career. So I had to make it up. And luckily, you know, God is great and gave me the opportunity at the end of the game. And it was a tipped up pass. And I strolled it in and I ended up, you know, winning that game and having a good run in the playoffs. And, you know, Tom reached out to me after the game on Instagram, DM'd me and said, congrats. He's happy for me. He hate that it had to happen to him. And why can I drop both of them? Why'd I have to catch one? So we got a great relationship, and Julian reached out to me as well. So, you know, it's all love in the game, and he's a great competitor, and he respects me for my play. But, yeah, that's just something I had to do to help us win. And trust me, that ball is on the mantle. My kids play with a lot of my interception balls. They're just kind of laying around. I practice with them. But that one they can't touch. That one's up on the mantle.
Well, there's a couple of Lombardis over your shoulder, too, that are up on the mantle that you won with Tom in New England. Here. So, Logan, being that you guys won the titles, look at that. I mean, it's beautiful, and you guys are still friends. So what was your reaction when you heard that Tom Brady was leaving the Patriots?
I mean, I heard that, you know, just like everyone else, that was a possibility. And I heard, you know, from guys on the team that it was a possibility that he definitely didn't, you know, I mean, it was up in the air. It was up in the air for sure. And it could be true. And it happened. But I mean, until you see that thing tick on the news, I mean, Twitter's reality nowadays. Yeah. So I get my news just like you guys. So I couldn't heard it any faster. And I was just surprised to really see it happen in the end. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy when players take control of their business. I'm happy when players do what's best for them and their family. And I believe TB, he's very thought out. He's the best player to play the game, in my opinion. And he's doing what's best for him, and I'm happy for that. I'm happy he's given the power to the players to think that way, because he fulfilled his duties. He did everything he could. He was the best teammate when I was there. He was there early. I mean, he was like in year 14 or something when I was a rookie, and he was the first one in the building every single day. So he's been doing it for a long time, and he deserves to be in Tampa. He deserves to be happy and do what's best for him and his family.
Quickly, before leaving the Titans, you had your Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation, and you donated $26,000 to Nashville Humane Association. Tell us quickly why this is so near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, RARF, my foundation, I'm a huge animal lover. I think the people that know me and know my wife know that we're all about it. We have three rescue dogs at our house. We're fostering a kitten right now. So, and this was born in Nashville. I've been working with animals my entire career. Yep, there's the whole troops. I've been working with animals my entire career, and my foundation was founded in Nashville, a 501c3 nonprofit. And not only was it founded 2 years ago, it blossomed. And we donated over $250,000 to the community and to animals in the last 2 years, and we continue to do more. And I want to let people know that this is a business. And although that I'm not going to be a Titan anymore, I might not play football in Nashville, my love for that community, that animal welfare community that welcomed me with open arms, is real. And on my way out, I wanted to donate to them. National Humane supported my foundation, helped us do so much. We learned a lot from them. And I believe that they're the leaders in the community here. And I wanted to, you know, extend $26,000 in my jersey number to them on my way out. Because, like I said, football isn't everything. Logan Ryan's more than that. So although it didn't work out with the Titans, it still works out with the Nashville community.
There you go. Logan Ryan on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Actually, it was yesterday morning, I believe, is when that interview took place. We were going to try to get to that yesterday on the show. We were unable to. We had a loaded show yesterday, so we thought we would play some of that today. And still seems like he's still got a little bit of a bitter pill about the Titans. At least that's what I took from it.
Yeah, I got that too, but I don't see that going away until he gets signed. I think that's what makes it so bitter is, and I can understand, I mean, he's a good player and he's sitting there going, why am I not signed? But, you know, if it's whatever his price was, you know, if that took him out of the market, then that's going to do it. We also know it's a unique time where you can't get a player in front of team doctors. And so I think that that's held him up a little bit too. But I think he's going to have some bitterness if that's in fact what it is, until he's signed with a team. And I know the Jets rumor was out there. It's not official, hasn't happened. So until that day comes, I have a feeling he's going to feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what anything new. Nothing really surprised me in that interview there. But I am very curious going forward here. Do we still think it's the Jets? Is it a done deal with the Jets? Hasn't that been reported?
No, it's not a done deal.
It's been rumored for 3 days. If it was a done deal, it would have already been reported. It kind of went away after that went out. That was out there 3 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's out there is that he's had nice things to say about the Jets, but he hasn't signed yet. And that was what we just heard. So that's the only thing that I've seen, that, and that's, you know, Rich Cimini's put that out there, that it's not a done deal, and he covers the Jets on a daily basis.
So I think the final chapter would be, what is the deal he gets from the Jets? As we know, too, let's say he is tried to stick to his guns and say, I'll take a one-year deal as long as I'm making the same as I made last year. Remember, too, that they take a little bit more of your money in New York, tax-wise, than they do in Nashville. So I do wonder how he'll feel about everything, because I think that's the most compelling thing. Is it sounded like he put it out there early. I'll take a one-year deal, prove it, but I don't want to take a pay cut. But I guess if you change addresses and you go to a state that has heavier taxes, you are essentially going to take a pay cut, even if you're making the same salary.
Well said. I was kind of hoping that they would, you know, maybe ask that, because I do think, for whatever reason, that sport doesn't talk about it as much as others, as we've talked about over the years. I mean, nobody ever talked about it. Now it's a lot more prominent discussion, especially in hockey circles and other sports. I feel like NFL doesn't talk about it enough, but you're right. I mean, even if he, okay, so let's say the Jets give him 10 million, whatever his number was this past year. Well, good luck in New York / New Jersey. I mean, that's not going to go the same. There's because of just their state tax alone, and it's just costs more to live there. Cost of living is more. It's not going to be the same. You're going to lose money by changing markets. Obviously, they never got to that. I don't know. You know, he had three really good years here. John Robinson paid him well. He earned it. He earned his money, and that's great. He had three really good years, good memories.
He had a slow start, too.
He did. He absolutely did. And they went to the playoffs two out of the 3 years. So, I mean, just I don't understand why he just – they're very subtle, but I don't understand why he – you know, he would take just little subtle shots at what's he, is he just mad that John Robinson didn't? You know, I mean, John Robinson also traded away Jarrell Casey.
You guys would have the same feelings, wouldn't you? You would have
sure.
those feelings. It's just depending on whether you would share those or not. But that's a natural reaction of, hey, haven't I done enough to come back? Man, I think I've had three pretty good years here. I like living here. Why don't they want me?
Well, but I mean, players do this all – this happens all the time. And, you know, I don't think everybody comes out publicly and takes a little subtle jab at, you know, how dare you didn't re-sign me? I mean, that's part of the business. Jack Conklin, I haven't heard anything. Has he said, you know, that's what you get?
Right.
Tennessee, that's what you get for not, you know, re-up in my final year. See? Boom. Now I'm in Cleveland, I made even more money. I mean, he didn't do that. I haven't heard anything Jack Conklin has said is, boy, wasn't a very good, smart idea down in Nashville not to pick up my final year. I mean, this stuff happens all the time. So, I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand for a guy that's such a smart football player and a great guy in the room and a good guy to deal with, some of his decision-makings, I don't understand them. I just don't.
Well, I mean, he's just and I think another part of it, too, is, you know, he looks at it, well, I just helped us get to the AFC Championship game, and there's not even, in his mind, there's not even a phone call. Now, I don't know. I don't have the evidence. All I know is what he has said, that the Titans didn't try to bring him back. That's one side of the story. We don't know if the Titans reached out and if they tried to do something. But I think that there's some bitterness, and I would feel the same way, guys. I would be in the same position if I had given, you know, the cliche of blood, sweat, and tears for an organization, and if I don't even get a phone call to try and stay after going to the AFC title game, I'd be upset too. But
so you would say stuff publicly?
I didn't say that. I just
said
I'd
nobody's
be upset.
Questioning whether you're a human being, whether you have emotions.
But would you
privately.
Want it to? Would you want it to be known? Wouldn't you want people to know one way or the other? Maybe if it didn't
that's
come
the
from
question.
You, that's one thing.
Well, if somebody asked me, did the Titans call you and try to re-sign you, and the answer is truly no, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to lie about it, and I'm not going to dodge the question.
Okay.
So if you get asked, then answer the question. I get that.
Well, because everybody wants to know. He was pretty popular, and he was pretty good. If they weren't asking, then he would have been completely irrelevant. That was a tough call that they made.
But he also kind of went out of his way on that interview to say, every team but the Titans. You know, it's like, oh, okay. As he made a point to say that. By the way, has there been any official word? Has John Robinson, who's been on with us, has Mike Vrabel, they've all been doing the rounds. Have they said publicly since all this that Logan Ryan is not in their plans, that they have?
I haven't heard that.
Let's stop talking about Logan Ryan. He is going to be somewhere else. He is not going to be with us. Have I heard?
No.
Has anybody said that from the organization?
I have not.
Okay. The things I've heard about Logan Ryan from the organization,
just curious,
has been that, and this was, you know, this was a while ago. This is before the draft, I believe. But John Robinson did say, we haven't closed the door on anything, but nothing's imminent. He gave a GM speak answer, but he was asked point blank about Logan Ryan. He was asked point blank about Jadeveon Clowney. And he's been asked more about Clowney since then. But to Logan Ryan, he said, we haven't closed the door on anything, but nothing's imminent.
That's my point, is if that had been said, then, of course, you cross them off the list, right? I'll sign anywhere but the Titans, because they've already said they're not going to sign me, you know. But it's, once again, he went out of his way to say that. And to my knowledge, I mean, Vrabel and Robinson have been doing all kinds of hits locally and nationally, and I haven't heard a peep about them through this whole thing saying, we are not bringing back Logan Ryan. It is out of the question, out of the picture. We're moving on. I haven't heard him say that. Now, maybe they've said that privately to his camp. Maybe so, and that's fine. If they have, then I understand why he would say, you know, some of the stuff that he has said. But thought that was interesting. Still does not have a home yet, him and Clowney, of course. Two biggest names out there on the free agent market. We'll come back and close the book on the second hour of the program next. Paul Byrd coming up in about 10 minutes or so, a little bit more than 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes. We'll have Paul Byrd. You just made the list, and Dr. Peter Cobb in the third hour of the program. Friday trivia coming up in the final hour. We are actually going to have more live sports this weekend, and it's going to be interesting. UFC putting on yet again another event, and NASCAR is going to get their race season started, and it's also the return of Ryan Newman, which is a pretty incredible story considering the wreck at Daytona and, you know, what we thought at the time. And here he is, not only alive and well and out of the hospital and just fine, he's going to be racing on Sunday. Pretty incredible. What do we make of, because of the circumstances, you know, what do you think the attention will be on NASCAR this weekend?
Well, I was curious of that myself, and then this morning we ended the rundown with it, and even Ryan Porth said, I'm probably going to tune in. I'll check it out, just because it's something live. It's live sports. So I wonder if you're going to see a lot of that. I, you know, we've said it for weeks that it's an opportunity for a sport that had momentum in the 90s, lost a lot of it for many, many reasons. In the 2000s and the 2010s, they were starting to get a little bit back. They had worked on the product. They had better leadership in place. I mean, you know, Brian France, a lot of things there, but he's not in power anymore, and I think that's good for the sport. And so now you have another opportunity that you can be one of the only shows in town. You can showcase your talent and get people watching you, and it sounds like that could happen. So I think it's going to be interesting. Fox has done a great job through this, because this has been their part of the schedule, and they are going to make up the races that, you know, they miss with their TV deal. NASCAR announced more of the schedule yesterday. They'll make up Bristol at the end of this month, so that'll be cool. But I think you'll have – I can't wait to see the numbers. I want to see the ratings, because I think they'll be higher than they usually are.
Sunday, you know, one thing I'm curious about, too, is the timing of this. Because, as you mentioned, it's an opportunity for NASCAR, especially because of the way the layout is for a race, right? You have guys in cars. You have the space in that area to move, you know, to have people apart. But if you have any issues, and let's keep our fingers crossed, let's do all that stuff that you don't have any issues to speak of, you may not know for a couple weeks, right? If there was some sort of worst case scenario outbreak or something, you may not know for a few weeks. So along the timeline, it'll be interesting for all the observers from other sports who are watching to see, you know, I don't know if I would call them a guinea pig, but they're the first to jump out there and say, I think we can do this. I think we can do this safely. We're going to do this right. And if anything goes, you know, they can learn. The others can learn from NASCAR. So I think they have a chance to hopefully set a really good example here. I would like to see, because I want to watch a little bit of the race if I can. But what I'm going to be looking for is, do I see people really trying to do the thing right? Right? And make little adjustments where you can to keep everybody safe. I think that's a theme that I just like to see with everything we do. We talked to Tim Corbin about it yesterday with, you know, some baseball teams trying to get out there and having practices and things like that. What adjustments are we making? Because if you're not making any adjustments, then that's probably reckless. That's probably wrong. What adjustments are we making?
Yeah, well, and they sent out a memo to teams that for Victory Lane. And what do we always see in Victory Lane? They're high-fiving, they're hugging, they're jumping
each
other.
You're celebrating.
They sent a memo out saying, we're going to have Victory Lane, but no high fives and none of that stuff. We got to practice social distancing even while celebrating. So they've thought about that part. Now, I believe that this is a situation like anything where they're going to have to adjust as they go. This is the first time doing it. They're not even at the track yet. They'll get to the track. I guess the cars can get there tomorrow, but tomorrow, but it's a one-day show. They don't practice. They don't qualify. They've already drawn the lineup. Brad Keselowski's on the pole. And so they did it that way based on point standings and then a blind draw. This is unprecedented. It's new territory. So the first time they get in the cars is when they're rolling out to go race. So they'll adjust as they go. But I'm with you on that I'm going to pay attention of what it's like. As I said yesterday, the broadcast booth will be done from the studio in Charlotte. They'll have one pit reporter, Regan Smith. He will be the boots on the ground on pit road. And then any other media members, which is being limited to four, will be in the press box.
They did announce some more dates. You know, they're going to be at Darlington. They're going to race 400 miles on Sunday. They're going to have their Xfinity race on Tuesday at Darlington. Then they're going to have another cup race on Wednesday night. They're only going to go 310 miles, but they're going back and doing, or they're going to have another cup race Wednesday. So Sunday and Wednesday, two cup races at Darlington. Then they move to Charlotte, where they'll have a cup race, and they're going to go 600 miles Memorial Day weekend.
Traditional Coca-Cola 600.
Yep, longest race of the season.
They will qualify for that. That is the only, they will have qualifying for the Coke 600. They did announce that.
Let me ask something. Well, we know that we've said, you know, yesterday when we were talking about this, it's going to be unique. There's no practice time. There's no qualifying. What would change? Like, why would qualifying affect anything in that sport?
I think they're just trying to limit the exposure of being around each other, because qualifying, for instance, you have a lot of, well, practice and qualifying, you have a lot of the crews that are around each other, and they're rolling the cars out one by one for qualifying, and they're doing tweaks and adjustments. And so I guess they look at it as the garage is the busiest, and they're all packed in garage stalls during practice and qualifying because they're making adjustments on the car. And so they look at that as everybody's very close together. If they just unload and they're lined up on pit road ready for the race, then I guess they look at it as you're not as close together. But like I said, they're doing it for the 600-mile Coke 600, so I don't know what type of adjustments they're going to make there of keeping people spread out. But they're trying to limit the exposure.
Well, hopefully, I think it's smart, though, because I think it's good. You're starting, you know, in stages, just like we're starting with our phase one in Nashville, right? Let's go to phase one and then see where we're at. What did we learn from phase one? Okay, now we can go to phase two. Like I'm sure if issues arise, they can always pull back and not do the qualifying in Charlotte if that's what needs to happen. But you hope you can progress, right? You hope you can do it in a way like, okay, this is working well. Let's move on to the next step. I think it's a smart approach.
So after Darlington, they're going to be doing some couple cup races in Charlotte. And then it was announced yesterday that their next venue will be here in the state of Tennessee. It'll be at Bristol. So they'll have a cup race at the end of the month in Bristol. And then they move to Atlanta, where they will have all three trucks, Xfinity and Cup in Atlanta.
They're doing all three at Charlotte, all three at Bristol. Or not the trucks at Bristol, but they're just doing
Xfinity and Cup at Bristol.
Yeah, and you'll notice that with a lot of this schedule, they're doing some double headers. So you might see on weekends that they have all three, they could do an Xfinity race and a truck race in one day, and then an Xfinity race and a Cup race in one day, because they still have to make up some of the Xfinity schedule and truck schedule too. So they're trying to accomplish that and doing some double headers.
Kyle Busch is going to run 7 races in 11 days.
That's Kyle Busch.
I know.
That's a normal week for him.
That is a normal week for him. We shouldn't even bat an eye at that. No surprise there. We'll come back. Paul Byrd, former big league pitcher, now a Braves analyst for Fox Sports South. We'll talk a little baseball with him to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Casino.